Well, praise God. It's a blessing to be with you this morning, and I just want to greet you in the name of your sister churches. I've visited the OPC Church there in Perkasie a couple times the past year, as well as Cornerstone PCA. We hear about your ministry here, the work that you're doing within your church and outside the walls of the church, and very encouraging for us. So, greetings to you. We're going to open our scriptures this morning to Psalm 128. If you have a Bible with you, please open there. Psalm 128. This is an instructional psalm. If you'll follow along with me this morning. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you've brought us here this morning, Lord, and all of us have different burdens on our heart. Different concerns about our families, different concerns about the church, about this community, about the economy, about our health. Lord, as there are many worldly concerns, Lord, we ask, Lord, that this morning that you will bring those worldly concerns and your spiritual concerns for us, Lord, and put them on the same table. Let us not divide our life, our daily life, from our spiritual life, Lord. And this morning, Lord, may we look at ourselves according to your word, Lord, and may you look at us and spur us on to recognize the beautiful Savior who loves us and is working with us even today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. James was a nice man. Very kind fellow. A very even-keeled guy. He had a couple friends. But James never really had really close relationships. He was talking to one of his few friends about the violence that was taking place in his hometown. Someone had been killed in their house by another family member. How horrible it was to be living in a town where there is violence in your own backyard. This man never married. He's a young man. And he never wanted to marry. He was afraid of close relationships. So his friend asked him, well, what do you think of these people? What do you think of the violence? James says, without batting an eyelash, people are animals. Well, his friend turned and looked at him and semi-shocked because James was a very even-keeled fellow. He said, well, James, how are you so calm? Now, you're a kind guy, a very nice fellow. You're so calm and even-keeled. He said, well, I never get close to people. I've just always been that way. And his friend said, well, James, you don't seem very much like an animal to me. Did you know that God desires peace in your house? Did you know that God desires peace in your relationships right now? The peace in your life is dependent upon your fear of God Himself. Now, these Psalms, the whole book of Psalms, a lot of them are instructional. Some are full of rejoicing and means of restoration and hope. The Psalms can encourage us every day. John Calvin put it like this in reflection of the Psalms. What various and resplendent riches are contained in this treasury? Difficult to find words to describe it. I have been wont to call this book not inappropriately an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, for there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Fear. It can debilitate our kind responses. It can prevent us from moving out into places of risk. And in relationships, it even displaces the trust we have in people. The trust that we have in things of faith. Fear can be deadly to our faith, to our spouses, to our children, to our sure true hopes. So it's strikingly positive what the psalmist says here. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. It takes the word fear and moves it to the front of the line of action and makes it a positive declaration that fearing the Lord yourself, when you fear the Lord, thus walking in His ways, will bring you blessing. The manner in which the word is used intends to be encouraging to you. To go ahead and identify the things that you're afraid of. And then identify the Lord of Lords and who He is. Walk in His way. And there's no way, when you look at the two things of the Lord of Lords and who He is, and those things that we fear on this earth that may challenge our faith, there's no way, if you look at them at the same time, that you can be afraid of things. Because our God, our Lord, is absolutely trustworthy and true. First question I want you to ask yourself, look at your household, look at your spouse, look at your children. Is God redeeming my house? I believe that's the primary question that God intends you to ask when you're reading this psalm, Psalm 128. Is my Lord, my God and Savior, redeeming my house? Bring peace to my house. Now, you and I both know, when we believed first in Jesus Christ, and He drew us to Himself to see the glory of His work of redemption for our sins and for our life. When we were penetrated with that truth, what happened? It was a glorious moment, wasn't it? And yet at that moment, a war began. When truth penetrates our life, when truth penetrates our heart, a war begins. So since that day you believed, I dare say, a war is going on. A war has ensued. Winston Churchill, I'm sure you all have heard his name before, from England during World War II, described war like this. In war, resolution. In defeat, defiance. In victory, magnanimity. And in peace, goodwill. When Jesus Christ willingly hung on the cross to die, he knew that he was going to war. Not just war for himself and for the kingdom of his Father, but he was going to war for you. How do I know this? Because Scripture says when he was hanging on the cross, what happened at that point? When he was hanging at the cross, he was separated from his Father. And he saw everything in your house. He saw it all. So if Christ saw it all the things in your house, he knew he was entering war not just for his kingdom, but for you, because you're part of his kingdom. And in war, we have Christ's resolution. He committed himself to you to resolve what is in your house and redeem it. So, in our homes, we have to ask ourselves another question. Not just how is our house, but what are we afraid of in our house? With our spouse. Children, I ask you, what are you afraid of in regards to your parents? What are you afraid of in regards to your friends? Wives, what are you afraid of in regards to your husband? What do you fear in regards to your house? And husbands, I ask you the same. When we're afraid of these things and you're feeling that fear well up inside of you, you think about that fear, what do? It's probably fear that's associated with some person. Maybe something a person has done or is going to do, or it could be something that a person is not going to do. And when you're afraid of this thing, this event, you watch your step pretty closely, right? When you're afraid of something, you tend to watch yourself and protect yourself or hide or get to safety. When you're afraid of something, you walk according to the rule of that thing, don't you? So here is this wonderful verse. If you're walking according to the rule of fearing something here, God invites you. Walk according to the rule of fearing me. Because if you fear me, says the Lord, if you look at me first, you will have nothing to fear. The reason we read Psalm 34, I want you to look at verse 4 if you have your scriptures. In our fears, you search for something to give you safety. Psalm 34 puts it like this. Verse 4, when I sought the Lord and he heard me, there's an automatic. You seek the Lord and he's going to hear you. He delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. So I see in this passage that the Lord is planning to redeem your house and continue to redeem your house so that eventually, on that final day of redemption, you will have no fear of anything but fearing the Lord. I'm going to work backwards a little bit, from the bottom of the psalm up. Okay, if we look at Psalm 128, I'm going to turn back to that psalm, please. This is one of Paul's favorite things to do, to work from the bottom and go up. God declares peace upon Israel. Now, I believe this is a declaration for us. There's peace. He desires peace upon your house. He desires peace upon his people. Okay? Now we move up to verse 3. And we're going to divide it a little bit. It says, your children like olive plants will be around your table. Now children, historically, and I think in our experience, children always need a place of confidence, right? If they have confidence in their parents or in their father or their mother, if they have confidence in them, they won't have substantial fear, right? And if they have confidence in their parents, they will find refuge. So if there's something that bothers them, if there's something that they're afraid of, they're going to go to their parents because they know that that's a place of refuge. It's a place of confidence. Your children like olive plants. Now, my family loves Italian food. I won't be ashamed of that, even though I'm not Italian. We really like Italian food so much. When we have a pizza or a lasagna or something like that, we always open a full can of olives, and we pour it into a bowl and eat all of the olives. So I guess we like olives. But my children, whenever they see that big bowl of olives, they immediately say, can I have 10? Can I have 10? Anybody know why? They want 10? 10 olives? Come on, those nice black olives with those holes in the middle. Boy, that's fun. Now, I don't believe that's because of this passage that they like olives, but they like olives. Olives in Scripture, and olive plants in Scripture, is a sign of good harvest. It's a sign of good soil. Okay? It's a sign of good eats, if you will, for people. But the olive plant represents the life of God's people. It shows that there is a nurturing soil in the home, that there is good soil being provided by the parents, that there's a good watering of the word on that soil and on that plant so the plant will grow. Now, olive plants are very robust. They're a hardy plant. But they only get that way if they're given a place of confidence and refuge, safety, and understanding by their parents. Let's move up to the next part of the verse. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Now, I'm only married once, so praise God. But I'll tell you, my wife desires to be in the center of the house. Not to be the center of things, but so that she can dispense her love and care to everybody in the house. Not that she's the center of attention, not by any means. But she desires to be that place where people know, the kids know, I know that I can go to my wife and there's comfort there, there's refuge there, because she may represent the vine. And what is that like? The vine in Scripture is the indication of wonderful things and wonderful blessings for this life. We get wine from the vine. We get first harvest of grapes from the vine. And wine and the vine in Scripture is a metaphor, an analogy as well, for the life when you're connected with Christ. So do not the Gospels speak about the vine? Well, we are the branches, and Christ himself is our vine. And the wife in the house is that wonderful person that God has given a family to provide wonderful fruits and blessing to the children, to the family as a whole. But she can only do that if the husband is the turner of the soil and the providing of the nutrients for that good place in the home. So I dare say, husbands, the burden falls on you. Men and boys, the burden will fall on you in the house. To direct your house as a place of redemption. Well, men, how can we do this? How can we redeem our house? How can we be that man, that person, to say, my house will be a house of redemption? First, the last verse, it says, peace upon Israel. A declaration that God desires this for you. Okay? In verse 5, God says, the Lord will bless you out of Zion. Okay? We need to look at where God is and where that blessing is coming from. Where is our Lord? He is in heaven. He's also in the hearts of believers. He is in His temple. He is in us. So two things from that place of position where God is. He's dwelling with His people. He dwells with you and me. As we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, God is dispensing His perfect gifts of love, forgiveness, blessing, and peace, according to this passage, to you, to His good children on this good earth. It's positional. He is doing that. Okay? So this says that He wants that peace for you. He wants that redemption for you in your house. Okay, so He wants that. So what do we do? Well, the reason we read again Psalm 34, I want you to look at verse 5, if you have your finger there. Psalm 34, 5. They looked to Him, and what happened? Husbands, wives, children, when you're afraid, you look to Him. We must. And what happens? 34, 5. They looked to Him, and they were radiant. Why? Well, that seems too easy. Seems too easy. Just look to Him and your faces are radiant. Now, when we seek the Lord, we're usually afraid of something. There's a sin that we know of that we don't want to talk about. There's sin around us, perhaps, that we're not sure how to approach or deal with. It's hard to be transparent. And yet when you look to Him, you become radiant. Why? Psalm 34, 5. Because their faces were not ashamed. Only in that place of safety and refuge in the Lord will we not be ashamed, because He provides means of redemption. There are two things that I want you to know this morning about the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, number one, dissolves any of our fears of man. I'll tell you, in my home, sometimes there are things that I don't want to face. There are things that I don't want to deal with head on. So here in Scripture, I have the instruction, husbands, fear the Lord and walk in His way, and nurture your household. Isn't it hard to know when truth penetrates, there's a war that ensues? Husbands, when your wife tells you a truth, sometimes it's hard to respond knowing that that's a true truth. Not wanting to face things head on We have to seek the Lord. And fearing the Lord and seeking redemption. We should not be afraid of loss. We should not be afraid of shame or failing. Because just like we read in 1 John, perfect love, which is love that's unified with Christ, casts out fear. The most frequently presented command in the Scriptures is do not be afraid. This is not in contrast to our passage. But do not be afraid is God's resplendent wisdom, showing us that He knows our weakness. We desire so much to trust in man and our own abilities to thrust ourselves into blessing that we forget to hear those simple words of God saying, trust me. Psalm 37, Psalm 34, 8 through 10. There are dozens of psalms that say, trust me. I'm sure you remember the story of the Israelites as they were led by God out of Egypt. For generations, they were in Egypt, correct? Under slavery. Under slavery with Pharaoh. Making bricks. Gathering straw. Dying, having children, slaves. God led them out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They went into the desert. As they crossed the Red Sea, God closed the Red Sea and wiped out the army of Pharaoh. So they're not out of Egypt too long. And they find out that there's not a whole lot of food. Well, we'd rather go back to a life of sin, wouldn't we? They say. They start to grumble. We'd rather go back to Egypt. We don't care if we were slaves. It wasn't that bad. We can get melons there and fruit and food and all that we want. Okay, we'll die as slaves, but that's okay. Sin in our homes and sin in our life can make us like slaves. Sin is very deceiving because it always looks better over there, doesn't it? It always seems easier back there. But the fear of the Lord, and this is the second point, the first one that the fear of the Lord dissolves our fears of man, the second point is the fear of the Lord dissolves that love of sin. When you know that your Savior who hung on the cross, who bled from a crown of thorns for your sake, oh, that sacred head. When you know that redemption is sure. You know that that Savior, this Son of God, can save you from this sin. In this life, now. Save you from that love of sin. And the reason we can trust Him is that we know that sin is destructive. When we don't trust Him, we hold sin too close to our vest, don't we? Children? Wives, husbands, all of us here. Isn't it easy to hold sin close to our vest? And we let sin in and walk around and we hide it. Like walking on eggshells. But the Lord doesn't want us to be like James, does He? Like the man who was very even-keeled. I had no close relationships to speak of. Sin hurts. It shames. It breaks hearts and relationships. And yet, if we want our wives to be a fruitful vine, our children to be like budding olive plants around our table, sitting down in fellowship, because we are of one bread, and one cup together. We are of one Christ. And in our homes, we have one house, don't we? There's one Savior in our house. There's only one. If we know Him, then we will not be afraid of sin. And again, nor will we accept the deceit of sin. First Corinthians 10:14 says, "You partake of this one bread, this one Christ. This is your Savior to redeem your house." How can I trust Him? How can I trust God? You can only trust Him if you know Him. And you can only trust Him if you know what He's done. And you can only trust Him if you know what He can do to dissolve, to destroy, and cast out our sin and the effects of our sin. He wants to redeem your house. Not just you, as we are in ourselves, your house. When you look to Christ, you will not be ashamed. Indelible Grace, who works with RUF, put it like this. I don't remember the name of the old hymn, but this is the way they put it in one of their songs. "In bondage, in sorrow, and in night, am I without Christ. In freedom, in gladness, and in light, am I with Him." As we redeem our homes, we will have surprising fruit with our children, because they will find refuge with you. In our spouses, because they will know that they are cared for by that power of redemption within their home from each other. In that surprising fruit, Paul David Tripp puts it this way in How People Change, the book. What will the heart change in your life look like as we consider this fruit, the vines and the olives? These changes in our living, keep in mind that we're not simply listing things that we should do as believers, but rather what we have been given by Jesus. He gives us new life, new freedom, new character, new hope, new strength, new desires. Christ's work on the cross gives us a new heart. And in this, may our desires turn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You have called us to Your side to be Your children, Lord. And it is a sobering and marvelous thing to know that You have given Your Son for those who follow You, for those that You have called to be Your own. And Lord, You have given Your Son, and we thank You that it's not just for us alone, but for our families, for our wives, for our children, for our friends, for the family of Christ right here. Lord, this is Your house. Lord, we pray that You redeem Your house even more today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, John. We're going to sing that psalm that we've been taken to this morning as we stand together in the hymnal 717, "Bless the Man That Fears Jehovah." Let's stand together and sing.
blessed the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By your toil you shall be prosperous and be happy all your days. In your wife you shall have gladness, she shall fill home with good. Happy in her loving service and the joys of motherhood. Joyful children, sons and daughters, shall about your table meet. Olive plants in strength and beauty, full of hope and promise sweet. Blow on him that fears Jehovah, shall his blessedness attend. For Jehovah out of Zion shall to you his blessing send. You shall see God's kingdom prosper all your days till life shall cease. You shall see your children's children on your people, Lord, be peace.
With the benediction, God sends us out into the world, back into our homes, back among our families. And as John said, he's redeeming our families. It's who we are as we live in this community and seek to give witness for Christ. And his benediction is a promise for grace, the grace to obey his word. Receive the Lord's grace through his benediction. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. In Jesus' name, amen.